Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what comes to mind when you think about a celebration? You probably think of many friends and family members gathered together, having a party, talking and laughing with each other, enjoying good food, lots of decorations around the room, nice music playing in the background. What comes to mind when you think about an Easter celebration? Well, probably many of those same things. Fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, gathered together, singing praises to God, sharing with each other that wonderful message of the risen Savior, sharing also that special food of the Lord's Supper, which is a pledge of God's forgiveness to us, and maybe also having a fellowship meal together before or after a worship service. But probably something that you don't think about as part of a celebration is somebody standing up in the middle of the party and bringing accusations of murder against everyone in that room. Certainly that would totally kill the joyous atmosphere of that celebration. That's not at all the kind of thing that we would expect to happen at a celebration or a party. But that is just the kind of thing that we need to hear at our Easter celebrations. Peter was well aware of that as he proclaimed the Easter message to a crowd of people who were gathered in Jerusalem on the festival day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Easter, after the Passover. Peter didn't just say to that crowd, "Let's celebrate because Jesus is risen from the dead." Rather, he first brought a harsh accusation against them. He said to them, "You killed this man by having lawless men nail him to a cross." But who were those people in that crowd on Pentecost that Peter was speaking to? Well, some of them were the Jews who had been there in Jerusalem on that Friday of Holy Week, when the chief priests and the elders of the Jewish people were shouting loudly for the death of Jesus. Many of them had been among that crowd of people who had joined up in that shouting, caught up in the sinful fervor of the moment and yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" calling for the death of the innocent Son of God. But many of the people that Peter was speaking to on that Pentecost day were probably not there in Jerusalem among that crowd calling for Jesus' death on Good Friday. Because we read in Acts chapter 2 that there were Jews from many different places, from Italy to Iran to North Africa. So how could Peter say to all of them, "You killed this man by having lawless men nail him to the cross"? Well, Peter was making the point that even if they weren't the ones who were actually physically pounding the nails into Jesus' hands and feet, or if they weren't actually physically present there among that crowd who was yelling for him to be crucified, they were still responsible for his death. And in these words, Peter is also speaking to you and to me as well. You, members of St. Andrew Lutheran Church, you, dear fellow redeemed in Christ, you killed Jesus by having lawless men nail him to a cross. We might take offense at such a harsh accusation. "I love Jesus. How can you say that I am responsible for crucifying him? I wasn't there. I wasn't among that crowd who was shouting for him to be put to death. I certainly wasn't one of those ones who nailed the nails through his hands and his feet." But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our own ways, you and I are responsible for the death of Jesus. We cannot put the blame on the Jewish people or the Jewish religious leaders who were leading the charge, leading the crowd and calling for Jesus' death. or on the Roman governor Pilate, who was the one who gave the order, or on the Roman soldiers who carried out that order by physically nailing Jesus to the cross. Indeed, it was they who carried out those actions of arresting and beating him, mocking and crucifying him. But it was for your sins and for mine that Jesus allowed himself to be arrested and beaten and mocked and crucified. Our sins were the fists that struck Jesus in the face. Our sins were the whiplashes that cut into the flesh of his back. Our sins were the crown of thorns that pierced his brow. Our sins were the nails that were hammered into his hands and his feet. Our sins were the reason that Jesus suffered so horribly, the reason that Jesus was forsaken by God the Father, and so he suffered the suffering of hell by being totally separated from the love of God there upon the cross. Jesus could indeed have used his divine power, his power as God, to come down from the cross, to save himself, just as the mocking voices of the crowd called on him to do. He could have prevented the Jewish leaders from arresting him and putting him on trial in the first place. As he said at one point, he could have called legions of angels to come down to his defense. But he did not. It was his great love for you and for me that caused him to endure that extreme physical and even more extreme spiritual suffering of that day. Because he knew that if he did not go to the cross, then there was no hope, absolutely no hope for you or for me to be saved. And we would be doomed to spend an eternity of suffering in hell for our sins. And so despite the suffering, Jesus knew that it was his Father's will, that it was his own will. It was his plan for our salvation. Sin is a serious thing, and God demands a serious punishment in payment for sin. God demands the punishment of death. But Jesus willingly submitted himself to death in our place so that we would not die eternally. Brothers and sisters, when we proclaim the joyous Easter message, it is essential that we proclaim this message, that all people had a hand in the death of Jesus because of their sins. And then we also proclaim the glorious message that the death of Jesus is not the end of the story, and that in the same way, the death of believers is not the end for them either. Peter's preaching continues. He is the one God raised up by freeing him from the agony of death, because death was not able to hold him in its grip. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. That is the great message of Easter. What wonderful news it is. Jesus' death on Good Friday, if that had been the end of the story, then death would have won the victory. As we heard in our sermon last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Paul says here that if Christ had not been raised, then there is no hope for us to be raised, and there is really not much point at all in our faith. If we have no hope of the resurrection, then we are the most pitiful of all people, because then we are all just wasting our time here. But the joyous news of Easter is the message that Peter proclaims here in our reading from Acts chapter 2, that Jesus has indeed been risen from the dead, just as he told his disciples that he would, and just as God had prophesied in the Old Testament. And so Peter quotes from the words of the prophet King David in Psalm 16, when he says, "You will not abandon my life to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Peter explains that David clearly was not talking about himself in the words of that psalm, because David did die and he was buried. All the people that Peter was speaking to on that day, all of those Jewish people, knew full well that King David did die and that he was buried there in Jerusalem. But by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David was prophesying about the resurrection of the Savior, Jesus. Jesus died, but God did not abandon him to the grave. Death could not keep a hold over Jesus. In fact, Jesus' body was not even touched by the corruption of decay. God raised him to life, and then Jesus appeared in resurrected splendor to his disciples and to more than 500 of his followers at various times throughout the next 40 days. Those people who saw the risen Lord Jesus told many others this good news, and they also told them the meaning of this good news, the meaning that Jesus' resurrection has for each one of us, that God took away our sins by Jesus' death on the cross, and God proved it to us by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead on the third day. By Jesus' resurrection, he gives us the promise that we also will rise from the dead, that death will not be able to keep a hold on us, because Jesus has conquered death. David wrote, "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." You and I, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, will be filled with an indescribable joy as we stand in the presence of God in heaven, in our glorified, resurrected bodies, when all pain and suffering has been removed, when sin and the devil will plague us no more, when we will join with all believers of all time, standing there around the throne of Jesus the Savior and God, to worship him in perfect joy forever. Brothers and sisters, this is the beautiful message of Easter. This is the beautiful message that brings us peace and comfort in our daily lives, because we know that no matter what happens in this life, even suffering of the most terrible kind, we have the promise of resurrection and eternal life with God in heaven. And we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, dear brothers and sisters, let's boldly share this beautiful message, just as Peter and the other disciples did. As Peter did in this sermon on Pentecost, we must point out sin. We must make others aware of the many ways that each of us transgress God's holy law every day, and that because of our transgressions, we deserve the full punishment of God's wrath. But then we also proclaim the wonderful gospel message of Easter, that God in his love took the wrath of his judgment upon himself, that he suffered that punishment of death and hell in our place, and that he won the victory over death by his resurrection from the dead. Let's boldly share how much this message has meant for each of us in our own lives, the great peace and comfort and joy that it gives to us each day as we live our lives in the grace of God's forgiveness, with our focus always on our eternal home of heaven. He is risen, and we too will rise. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, proclaim the Easter message. Point out sin. Point to the Savior.